Welcome to the True Identity Podcast. This is our short identity series, episode 8, A True Friend. I am your host, Corey Fronick. Our mission is best summarized in 3 points. First, in this short identity series, we're discussing how I found my true identity. Secondly, how experiencing this truth has changed my life. And lastly, my hope is to stir up the Holy Spirit in you to experience this revelation for yourself. For some time, I have lived my life trying to be something that I wasn't. Experiencing the joy of living in my true identity has truly transformed my circumstances. Today, we're talking about friendship. You are a friend of God.
Welcome to the True Identity Podcast.
Welcome.
Yeah. Where our mission is those six words. Love God, love people, make disciples. And this message, it's never changed. It's been the same. It's that we're dead to the old and made new in Christ. Let's get into it.
That's right. Today we are reading John 15:15. And in this verse, it talks to us a little bit about what it means to be friends with God. It says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You know, coming up short in my old ways in my past life, this was expected, and I never understood or noticed these things. Christians following Jesus are in the middle of two battles, one in the physical and the other in the spiritual realm. Both of these battles have been equally disruptive in my life. Both of these battles are dramatically different when I understand my true identity. Have you ever experienced a battle so real or felt so isolated it burned like you were standing in the furnace physically? Being burned in my relationships past by my own doing or others was not out of the ordinary. Those who knew me back then could testify to this person. Friendship isn't historically a strength of mine. It's funny, I've had a hard time trying to put this episode together because of this challenge specifically. Getting lost in that line of thought was something I experienced daily in my relationships. But as I've grown in my understanding of my true identity, as I mature physically and spiritually, I realize this line of thought begins with seeds of doubt that blossom into fruitless, dead vines. The kind of vines that can only fuel a fire to burn even hotter. God's word says that the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Imagine that fire burning hotter every day with dead vines. My spiritual discernment has revealed signs that expose the enemy's intentions as I go about my way. Burn bridges, impulsiveness, presumptions, anger, jealousy, lack of patience are all of my red flags. Have you ever experienced these seeds in your friendships? Recognizing these red flags and doing nothing was a concern to me. In my past life, I melted down my moral and ethical boundaries to fit in with my surroundings. Jesus doesn't command us to be a fly on the wall or camouflage ourselves into the unseen. Let's look at how Jesus defines friendship. Starting in John 15, verse 9, Jesus talks about his love as abiding. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abiding comes from obedience. You know, when I look at this verse, I can't help but ask myself, Corey, how obedient am I truly? I sit here and I feel like God is asking me this. When I read this verse, it polarizes my reality. Am I abiding in my friendship, or is it something else? Jesus goes on by saying that true obedience can only come from love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Just think about it here. Let me ask. Can you obey someone you don't truly love? I mean, it's a fairly easy question to answer. At least for me, it is now. I don't know about back then. Now, it's a fairly easy question to answer. This is a fine line that can only be perfectly clear. As I've grown in my experience, I lack the fight to oppose God's will in my life. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've tried to do it my own way, and I've been significantly humbled and put in my place. For me to experience this, I literally have to die to my pride daily and humble myself so that I can fully walk in my new creation. You know, in my study for this talk, I've noticed two fruits of what Jesus defines as friendship. Two fruits of the Spirit stand out to me: love and joy. With true love comes joy. Look at what God is saying here in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, the world tried to make me think that my joy was full, but it was hollow in my old ways. When I was living in my flesh, I used to talk about wanting to be happy or having a happy life. But is happiness truly sustainable? At least it wasn't for me, and I can answer that honestly now. Worldly happiness and true joy have new value to me as I've lived in my new creation. Value has different worth to us all. The command in verse 15 is not a small one. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." I find it interesting that love and friendship are used in this text. Friendship has been the hardest for me to experience. Sometimes my old ways want me to think that I'm doing it alone. What would life be like if we had to do it alone? Now, before you answer, I want to provide some further context. Ephesians 4 talks about the value of a friend. Check this out.
"Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken."
You know, the Christian listening to this message knows the greatest commandment of all. Listen to these two statements here and hear the authenticity and the hypocrisy in the other. This Christian walk is about being the person God created me to be. Versus, this Christian walk is about doing the things God wants me to do. Am I abiding in God's love by being, or am I abiding in God's love by just doing? The separation for me when I look at this verse in Ephesians 4, being and abiding are indistinguishable. You can't tell one from the other. But doing and abiding can be fabricated to look real. This leads me to my next point. A specific group of people comes to mind when I think about friendship. It may not be what you think. This is a group of human beings in our society that is beyond the reach of friendship, but not to Christ. Someone like the thief on the cross, or maybe even the inmates on LWAP, the walking dead prisoners, the forgotten humans of our society that gave up their freedom at the cost of taking something precious from us. Even Jesus became a friend with the thief on the cross that day, breaking down strongholds. Love and joy are the fruit that we see in the friendship of Christians walking with Jesus. And do I believe I can be any less forgiving? In my old ways and walking in my new creation, the answer to that question is obviously different. When I was living in my flesh, the answer to that question, can I be any less forgiving, as I'm experiencing the truth of what it means to follow Christ, to be more like Christ each day, do I believe I can be any less forgiving than Christ? I guess that's only a question that you can answer for yourself. If my abiding in Christ and experiencing His love is fruitful in my life, there can be breakthroughs in my life. This has been my truth. Hope for the lost is a desire the Holy Spirit has put onto our hearts. Not because it's our hope, but because it's His hope within us. I have hope for the kids that took my son's life at the gunpoint for no reason. You know, there's a famous quote that Tony Robbins said, and it was, whatever people have their identity attached to, they live. We live whom we believe we are. I find that uniquely interesting in this conversation. Yeah, have you ever loved something that you once hated? Or let me rephrase that. Have you ever hated something you once loved? Is our identity found in something created or something eternal? Knowing everything created turns to dust, what hope is there in this? Identity in something eternal like Christ's love for me and a friendship that goes beyond the physical. You know, if we don't know who we are, how do we know how to act? I fought the battle of thinking I was everything but whom God made me to be, and it got me nowhere. The enemy wants to separate me by dividing me from the truth. The enemy wants to separate you by dividing you from the truth. And the truth is, you and I are friends with Jesus now. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Please don't hesitate to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram at True Identity Podcast. Please like, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and look for more content to follow. See you next week.